Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So, as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Radio show. Thank you for joining us. I'm Barbara Moore. I'll be joined tonight by Alice Linehan from Texas and Don Wildman from California. I want to begin, as we always do here at City on a Hill Radio Show, we're all about shining the light on our glorious godly heritage, and we try to do a little bit of that, at least a little bit of that, on each show. And the acknowledgement of God was documented in all three branches of government from the very beginning of our constitutional republic. And in George Washington's administration, share just a bit about the judicial branch. I don't think this is very
here.
Commonly known. But
hello,
the original Supreme Court, each justice was assigned responsibilities over a specific geographic region. Why? Because the early justices traveled to hear cases rather than requiring the others to travel to the federal capital.
You're tired.
In 1 Samuel 17. Hello?
Hello, this is Alice. Yes, is this Alice? Oh, I'm here. How are you today?
Well, I'm just fine. I am just fine and delighted to hear your voice. And I heard another voice as well. Let's see who else is on with us. Don? Okay. Perhaps it's someone just wanting to listen in. Well, Alice, I was just sharing a little bit about the judicial branch at the beginning of our constitutional republic and how it's changed, and how at the beginning the justices of the Supreme Court traveled the circuit, and they went to others to hear the cases, and this was patterned after the biblical model in 1 Samuel, 7th chapter, where the judges traveled the circuit. Samuel traveled Bethel, Gilgal, and other places. And so this was the pattern that our judges on the United States Supreme Court followed. Also, they followed the pattern of acknowledging God, praying before each session, and anywhere they traveled, this was done. And there are newspaper accounts of those pastors being invited to pray, and even some of the things that they addressed in prayer, and they referred to addressing the throne of grace by the different ministers of the gospel. So it's so interesting to me to see how it was at the very beginning with the acknowledgement of God. It was regular practice in the federal courts to acknowledge God publicly in all public places. And we need to know that. As Americans, we need to know that. Well, let's go ahead and begin with prayer, and we invite our listeners to pray with us. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this time. We ask, Lord, your presence with us, and, Father, that you would be pleased, Father, to guide us in our discussions. Father, help us to share those things that are helpful to others, what needs to be said, what needs to be heard. And we thank you for the opportunity of it, Lord. We pray that you would be honored during this time and in our lives at all times. We pray for our country, a turning back to you, Father, a great awakening in this land and throughout the world. We recognize, oh Lord, that it is you that we need, and your ways are higher than our ways, and we need to follow your ways, Lord. Help us to turn to you, Lord, with all our hearts, and heal our land, Father. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Alice, if you would please share with us what has been going on the C-Scope. I understand there's been a great victory. Can you fill us in on it?
Well, it's a cautious victory. We, you know, it's amazing. You were talking about how they would, the judicial branch would travel and go to the people. And what has happened now is our government has gotten so big and so overpowering, and through PR and media and all of that, the people are kept quiet because they don't know what's going on. And what's happened with C-Scope and Common Core nationally is people are opening their eyes because people are reporting on what's going on. Teachers are telling us what's in the curriculum and the lessons, whether it's C-Scope or Common Core. People are starting to have courage to look at the truth of what's really going on in our education system. And so what's happening is people are stepping up and taking action. And in Texas, we had a group of parents in Llano, which is in South Texas, towards San Antonio, towards the Hill Country area. They went to a judge and filed for a restraining order and were granted a temporary restraining order against the local school district, Llano ISD, preventing them from using the C-Scope curriculum lessons in their school until the lessons and the curriculum have been overseen and approved and corrected by the State Board of Education. And what's interesting is we had the situation where everyone thought that C-Scope was gone. You remember the reporting, it was on Glenn Beck, that the C-Scope lessons were gone. Well, that was just a ruse. They weren't gone. And they tried to get, at that time, we were trying to get a piece of legislation passed, Senate Bill 1406, and the nonprofit organization, the Education Service Centers, that owned the C-Scope curriculum, said that they were going to pull down the lessons, and there was no need for us to pass this legislation 1406. Well, thankfully, State Representative Steve Toth, who had authored the original House bill, would not take it down because he didn't trust that the C-Scope lessons were actually gone. And so we had some great moms who headed down to the Capitol and stood strong and went door to door and saw legislators and pushed. And we did pass House Bill 1406. So now they said that the lessons that had been pulled, we had a State Board of Education elected official that was telling school districts, well, just you've got the lessons, just download the lessons and you can use them anyway because they're out in the public domain. Well, now we have parents who've banded together and they have filed this temporary restraining order demanding that because those lessons are being used, the Llano ISD said that they were going to use those lessons, that we need to have those lessons reviewed. And so there is a hearing on Friday, so please pray. This Friday, there's a public hearing where both sides of the case will be heard, and we are hoping that this restraining order will stick until these lessons have been reviewed. Now, here's the interesting thing. Because the education service centers that help this nonprofit disbanded the nonprofit, there is no entity, once these lessons are reviewed by the State Board of Education, for these lessons to be fixed. So this is long from over, but this is the first step in a battle to expose what C-Scope really is. And it is, and here's what a lot of people don't understand, and maybe don't understand about Common Core because they're similar this way. Basically, what they are doing with Common Core and with C-Scope is setting up a system like a scope and sequence, a time, a curriculum management system to control the teachers with assessments. So what we want to do is expose this system that they're putting in place, and we want it completely shut down. And so this is just the first step in this process to expose what C-Scope really is, and that it is connected to Common Core, in that what they are doing is putting in place a system of management of curriculum to control teachers with this philosophy of education that is a humanist, collectivist philosophy of education. So our hope and our prayer is that this will be a ripple effect across the state of Texas for more people in their local districts to start filing suit to have C-Scope stopped in their local district so that we can have more eyes and ears exposing what C-Scope is truly all about. I hope that makes sense. It's complex.
It,
It does, Alice. And, you know, I have a couple of questions, and I see that Dawn Wildman is on with us, too, and I know she is wanting to make some comments and ask you questions, too. I would like to, before we get any further, I'd like to know, what do you think was helpful in alerting the teachers to understand about this management system whereby they will be controlled by it? What was helpful in alerting them to this? And then also, I'm just thrilled that the parents have stepped up and banded together and they're taking action. What alerted them? What do you think was major in alerting the parents also?
Well, I believe there are groups all across the state of Texas that have been working together. We've set up communication teams all across the state of Texas, and we get on a weekly conference call, much like the CURE group does on Thursday nights. We do the same thing here just in Texas on Wednesday nights, and we share information on that conference call. And so what's interesting is that a lot of teachers and people in education can't speak out for fear that they'll lose their job. So in having these conference calls, they can come on anonymously and share information, but they can also just call in and listen and hear that there is this movement going on across the state. There are people working in, you know, their local area to expose it. So that's one tool that we started doing. And then we had, with Women on the Wall, we were going around the state and just having community meetings, local meetings with moms and dads, and talking about C-Scope and exposing what it is, talking about Common Core and this philosophy of education and connecting the dots. And one thing that we would always say when we're at these meetings is, listen, don't believe what we're saying. Please don't just believe what we're saying. Please go try to prove us wrong. Please prove us wrong. We really want you to prove us wrong. But what's happened is nobody's been able to prove us wrong, and the more that we have people researching to try to prove us wrong, they're coming on board with us.
Wow.
Because they're actually doing the research and connecting the dots. And that's the key, I believe, in having parents, you know, start looking in their backpacks, in their kids' backpacks. Start asking the questions and start asking teachers. And what happens is when the parents go talk to the teachers say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I can't, I'm controlled by this. I want to teach the other way, or I'm trying to teach both ways. I'm trying to teach your child traditionally, but I'm controlled by this scope and sequence, this management system. And so there's this coalition being built between parents and teachers. And through these conference calls, you know, it's a safe place for people to come and find information. And what's happened is these conference calls have been building. And so now we're in a lot of these elected officials are in campaign mode, and they understand that this issue of education is one that will affect their campaign and will affect them in the primary. There's a lot of issues out there. In Texas, the big issues are transportation, immigration, the budget. A lot of moms and dads and everyday people that go to work every day, they can keep their head in the sand about those issues because it's not affecting them personally yet. Education and what's happening to their children, it's affecting them every single day. Just like you know, what's happening in New York and all these other states, they see that their child is being negatively affected by Common Core or C-Scope, and they're having to deal with it every day. And so they cannot keep their head in the sand. And so what we've done yesterday with this news conference, when we got the report that the judge had, that they had obtained the temporary restraining order, I contacted Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst's office because he had come to one of our education summits and was finding out a lot of information about this. And so I called his office and I said, listen, you know, we would love for you to come and be at this news conference with us and stand with these parents in Llano ISD. Well, it's a great opportunity for him to learn and support the parents on this issue and be out there in the public. But I told during the news conference, it was packed. There was media everywhere because Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst was there. And I told him, I said, some people will say that this is political, and you're right, it is political. It's political for me as a mom and all of these moms and dads and grandparents and taxpayers that are standing that we're here supporting. It's political for us because you, the media, you would have not showed up here today if this man, the Lieutenant Governor, had not been standing here. So we're using him to get you here. So thank you, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, for getting the media here.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
and it
indeed.
And it works.
I'll tell
you what, the interesting thing is the one guy who's really pushing C-Scope in Texas is an elected official. He's a State Board of Education elected official, and I've talked to you guys before about him, Thomas Ratliff. He's on the State Board of Education. He's out there telling school districts to download the C-Scope lessons. He's out there really pushing C-Scope. Well, he's a paid lobbyist and has been for the last 12 years for Microsoft. So in conjunction with our press conference that we had yesterday, we launched a new website, and it's called impeachratliff.com, www.impeachratliff.com. Ratliff, RATLIFF.com. We encourage everyone to go on that site and sign it. And we are calling for the state representatives in the state of Texas to file a resolution of impeachment to impeach Thomas Ratliff from his position because it's a conflict of interest. The Attorney General has already ruled that he's ineligible to be on the State Board of Education because he's a paid lobbyist for Microsoft. But there was no process to remove him from position other than a state representative filing a resolution of impeachment and getting enough signatures. So through this petition, we're having grassroots moms and dads across the state sign this petition so we can pressure our state representatives to stand strong to impeach Thomas Ratliff from the State Board of Education. And I'll tell you, if we are able to impeach him or at least put enough pressure to expose what he's doing, it's very interesting because his father is Bill Ratliff, who's a former lieutenant governor of Texas, a former senator of Texas, who was instrumental in writing No Child Left Behind and also the Robin Hood Plan, which has been highly detrimental to the state of Texas. And his father has worked very hard to take away the power from local school boards, much like we've talked about before on your show, that their goal is to take the power away from local school boards. Thomas Ratliff's father, Bill Ratliff, has been doing that since the 90s in Texas. And, oh, by the way, his little brother, Bennett Ratliff, is a freshman state representative who, it just so happens, our Speaker of the House, who's not a friend, he's not on our side, put Bennett Ratliff on the Education Committee in order to block a lot of this. So we want to take the Ratliff Klan out of power in Texas. And and yesterday was a big step forward in doing just that.
That's marvelous. Absolutely marvelous, Alice. What a wonderful report.
I can tell you what another sign that we're having impact is there was just an article run in the TFR, which is the Texas Freedom Network, which is run by, or which was started by Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, who is Ann Richards' daughter, who does not like that we are doing this. Because, you know, Planned Parenthood would very much like to put curriculum into our schools as a nonprofit, much like C-Scope. And we're exposing how all these nonprofit organizations are getting direct access to our tax dollars by providing curriculum in the education system. And I know that they're doing it in Texas and they're doing it in other states all across the country. So there you have it, live from Texas.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Allison. I know that Don Wildman is ready to make some comments about that. Hi, Don.
Hi, Miss Barbara. Hi, Alice. Great work.
Hi, Don. I haven't been on the show, the Thursday night calls the last couple of weeks. It's been crazy, but I know.
Well, now we know what you've been up to.
Yes.
So it's all good. I do have a question, though, because this, it never ceases to amaze me. It's really interesting that I think for most of the country, Texas is, for conservatives, it's utopia. That's what everybody views Texas. They think Rick Perry, you know, that these guys, wow, these guys are incredible. Look what Texas has done. And yet, the educational system has, in the last 5 years, has been in such a turmoil over trying to keep this garbage out of Texas schools. And every time it feels like there's a step forward, and we know that largely what goes out in press releases and news, you know, you really can't rely on that to be super accurate. But it is so interesting to me that this is the place where really it's sort of ground zero for a lot of these fights.
It is.
And for most of, I think, the rest of the country, we ask, why? I mean, if you really had a truly conservative governor, you have all these people supposedly in the state houses, legislature, who, you know, are conservative. You have bunches of great people that come from Texas that serve in our nation's capital. Where is the disconnect between that and then what we see happening with schools?
Well, Texas hasn't always been a conservative red state.
No, and as a matter of fact, you guys are really on target because the progressives already are, and I think that's what a lot of this is, part and parcel, their plan is to turn Texas back blue. And, I think the country doesn't realize that, though, Alice, that Texas hasn't always been a red state. I don't think they understand that. Because when you and I, when other people read what Texas is doing, you know, we'll hear that C-Scope is gone. We will hear that Common Core is dead. You get on the phone with us and you're just exasperated because you know better. You know different.
Right.
And it is so frustrating, I think. I'm amazed, really, you guys are my heroes, that you guys are totally inspiring me every day, that you keep up the fight, not just literally school district by school district, but out in the court of public opinion. I think it would be really helpful if other people understood, other states understood, this is really is ground zero for not just Common Core, but a lot of stuff happening right now, that the progressives really want a foothold in Texas again. And one of the ways they thought they would do this was C-Scope or Common Core. So what do you tell people who think, you know, but Texas was supposed to be the one place that couldn't be touched?
Well, I think because that perception is there's good and bad. There's bad in that we're under the illusion that we don't have Common Core in Texas when we do. We're under the illusion that everybody's conservative when they're not. So at least in other states, you know what you've got. You know what you're fighting against. But on the other side of it, the people of Texas are conservative. The constituents are conservative. And so to get elected in Texas, you have to run as a conservative Republican. If you look at Joe Strauss, the Speaker of the House, he had to run as a pro-life conservative Republican. But we all knew that he wasn't. His wife was on the board of Planned Parenthood. But he had to run that way to win. And so there are, though, it's interesting, as much problems as I have with Governor Perry, and I have a lot of issues with Governor Perry.
Perry is a neocon. He's not a true conservative.
Well, there's a difference here. There's the Bush faction that are the, you know, Karl Rove, Karen
Hughes.
But then the Perry's not, they're not friends. There's a divide there. And so then you have Perry and Dewhurst. With the three leaders that we have in power right now, Perry, Dewhurst, and Strauss. Strauss truly is on the left. He wants to be pulled on the left. He's friends with the left. He and the left are very close. Perry and Dewhurst want to be pulled to the right. They want to be held accountable by the right. I think Perry's just been in office so long that he's been bought out. He doesn't know what he stands for, because he's been bought out so many times by lobbyists and people. You know, to get to that position, you've got to cut deals. The difference about Dewhurst is, and I'm not completely sold on him, but, and this is what I told him. He's the one elected official that's gotten his clock cleaned completely. The money didn't matter. Ted Cruz cleaned his clock. And it was because of the grassroots. He gets that like nobody else. The other situation is with Wendy Davis and HB2 with the fetal pain bill, that where, you know, you can't have an abortion after 20 weeks. Hello. Wendy Davis cleaned his clock on that. When you have a massive amount of left-wing people being paid to overtake the Capitol, and you are the man in power, and they got their clock cleaned, he was humbled by that. So I told him, I said, listen, I haven't trusted you. I did not support you, and I still am a huge Ted Cruz fan. You're not my guy. But listen, if you will fight like a dad on this issue, because you've been humbled, because you understand that this is not about you and your political career. This is about your family, your daughter, my three children, and the children of Texas. If you will fight like a dad and stand with us, We will be there for you. And, you know, that's the power that we have as constituents in educating our friends and neighbors, that he knows he needs us in the primary.
I think Texas,
and we will be out there
a little
in the primary.
Bit, yeah, I think Texas is a little bit like a microcosm of what we see happening nationally. I mean, it truly is, where you have, especially in regards to conservative leadership, where you have a bunch of the neoconservatives who've managed to gain some leadership and some foothold in the GOP, but the constituency, the base itself, is still truly, you know, traditional conservatives that believe in conservative, traditional conservative values that are against, say, same-sex marriage, against abortion, all those nasty little social issues people don't want to talk about, pretend that don't exist. So it's just fascinating to me to watch, and I'm, you know, trust me, I get it. I live in California, so, you know, it's always interesting when it's somebody else's state it's happening to. But it is interesting how difficult it seems to be getting something that seemed like such an easy idea, dismissing, repeal, defunding, dismantling a federalized, mandated education in Texas is one of the biggest battles you guys have seen. And I think that's because of the whole, I think this is, if people don't understand what Common Core, C-Scope are about, this is why it's so important, is because they understand, the progressives, even the neoconservatives, understand that if they can manage this nationally, they do not have to worry about data mining or any of these other things that they have to do now with an unwielding constituency out in the public. You know, the voter will be a learned, Common Core, indoctrinated, knows politically that they're there. They will become the new slaves to the regime. I think Texas is one of the biggest examples of why it's so important to fight.
Right. It was interesting because Meryl was with us yesterday at the news conference. She was wonderful, and she kept saying all day, she said, "You don't understand. This press conference would not have happened in any other state, definitely not in California," to where the people could have said to the lieutenant governor, had access like that, and he would actually listen. And I'll tell you, we told the lieutenant governor, we said, "Listen, you have got to stand strong on this issue. We have got to annihilate C-Scope. Because in doing so, we have the opportunity to be the light to other states. And that when people will stand up, you can take on the progressive left." And I think, I don't know. I pray to God he gets it. I really do. It's interesting because the other person running against the lieutenant governor is Senator Dan Patrick, who's supposedly the hero of C-Scope. He's the one that, you know, made this deal that the C-Scope lessons were gone. You know what's interesting? We had an education summit, and they both showed up and listened. We've done all this stuff on financial reports, public information requests, and we had a great man, Tom Fabry, who did a presentation on the tens of millions of dollars that's been being siphoned off by this education bureaucracy. And we, you know, Tom presented that to them, and we thought, surely they get it. Surely they get it. The next day, Senator Patrick, y'all will get this. The first person that he had as his big national endorsement to endorse him for the lieutenant governor was Mike Huckabee.
Big surprise there, right?
I said, you have
all roads lead to Mike Huckabee, I'm convinced now.
I said, you've got to be kidding me. And I put it all over his Facebook. I said, you've got to be kidding me. You're supposed to be the C-Scope guy. You're supposed to be the one that understands that this is Common Core. Why would you put Mike Huckabee on, who not only is he standing for Common Core, he's writing letters to the Oklahoma legislators trying to get them to stand for Common Core. You know what's funny? I don't think they had a clue.
I don't think that's an accident anymore. I really don't think, I mean, it's sad to say, but anybody that watches, especially that is in, you know, media right now, at any point, knows exactly what is being said about them out in social media world. And
yeah.
Fact that he never responds to the overwhelming charges that people lay on him about his not just acceptance and liking of Common Core, but his absolute complete indoctrination to promote it, says to me that it's not an accident, that he is fully
right.
aware what it is, and he is okay with that, which then makes me, because that to me is the most, you know, some of our most innocent, precious, you know, beings on the planet are our children. So that makes me question any of the rest of the values that he espouses to have, which is really sad to say, but that's just how I feel about it.
Right. Well, I had a really hard time here in Texas because we had this huge victory. We finally passed HB2, the fetal pain bill, and they had this big rally, and the keynote speaker was Mike Huckabee. And I said, wait a minute, guys. Aren't we supposed we protect our children in Texas in the womb and in the classroom?
There you go. Amen.
He's only got half of it going there. We, you know, so
wait, really, doesn't it beg the question, though? I mean, exactly what you said. That is probably, it's not the biggest disappointment to me because, frankly, the big thing to me is ever if they walk the walk. That's usually the biggest surprise to me, so I'm not terribly shocked by Huckabee. What I'm just so floored at is that he is just so unashamedly insistent that this is wonderful. And he's not even a stupid person. So, I mean,
no,
you got to believe somebody's pulled him aside at some point and said, are you aware that there are all these parents fighting this across the country? It's not the world's best kept secret anymore.
Right. Exactly. Well, and it's interesting. We say Common Core is not in Texas. Texas is in Common Core. The GED company in Texas that does the GED for students that either drop out of school and, you know, get back on their feet and want to get their high school diploma, or homeschool students, they take the GED to get their diploma. Oh, that's right. Huckabee sells homeschool products.
Oh, yeah, it's all over Facebook.
Yeah. The GED is aligned with the Common Core.
Well, of course it is.
Yes.
Oh, I mean,
so,
not the most
biased
person in the world, which, you know, each one of these people that we investigate, you were just mentioning somebody that you guys found out had a tie to Microsoft. Every one of our state school board members has a tie to the Gates Foundation. Even people who aren't, like, major decision makers as part of that board are aligned with the Gates Foundation in some fashion. This is not unbiased stuff. That's what just cracks me up. If you told somebody this about business, they would be, oh, well, that sounds like a monopoly. That's not fair. You don't want the guy that works for Microsoft in on the meetings for Apple and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. You know, come on. You know, and everybody thinks, well, oh, it's a conspiracy. No, it's not. It's all very open and in the public. That's the interesting part. You know, this isn't like
right.
they have to keep a secret. They're not keeping it. They're promoting it And I'm sure all these people who are educators just pat themselves on the back. Oh, my goodness, I get to write for, I get this funding from, or I get blah, blah, blah from the Gates Foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're always told, follow the money. Follow the money.
Well, absolutely.
And,
well, that's the perspective I'm coming from now.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was going to cost Texas to fully implement Common Core, but for us here in California, we're looking at having to spend $2.2 billion, with a B, dollars to fully implement. And remember, all these numbers only go for the first 7 years. After that, nobody's even bothered figuring out what it would cost, assuming, you know, anybody kept it. And our governor is telling the state it's only $1 billion. But even if it was only $1 billion, you're looking at a state go, really, that's all it's going to cost us is $1 billion? Wow, that sounds like a really great deal. Let's grab it. We got a 50% discount from Microsoft to fully indoctrinate our children. Fantastic. It's just so ludicrous.
Well, Alice and Don, could you talk about the Islam connection with C-Scope and Common Core? I'm so grateful that Texas has been given a reprieve and that you do have this public hearing coming up on Friday. And we will be praying
for you
watching.
Big time.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. But could you address the Islam connection with it? We do hear about it being permeated in Islam.
Well, it definitely is. I think when you look at this C-Scope, Common Core, that whole philosophy of education, it's a marriage between the far-left progressives and the Islamic fundamentalists through political correctness. I think they whitewash everything. But then they, and Merrill pointed this out to me, when you look at the curriculum, when you look at the lessons, well, two things. When you look at the lessons, Islam is taught from a religious perspective. Christianity is taught from a historical perspective. And that makes a big difference, a big difference. So when you talk about, you know, the pillars of Islam versus the Ten Commandments, which Diana Cruz sent me that comparison. If you're talking, the Ten Commandments don't mean the same thing if you're talking about Christianity historically. So it's the narrative of how they teach it. But I'll give you a C-Scope example. In C-Scope, they say that it's aligned with the Texas TEKS, which are the Texas standards. So they set up this management system, a time management scope and sequence, and on that you're supposed to teach the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and then that teacher can mark off, oh, I've covered those TEKS. Well, the lesson given to the teacher in C-Scope to teach on the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, instead of talking about our founding fathers and that foundational, traditional way of teaching our history, that lesson goes all into the Arab Spring and Libya and talks about democracy. And the lesson gives the teacher a Time magazine article that she's supposed to give the kids for them to read, that basically talks about the Arab Spring like it's this democratic process.
As even if it was a democratic process, as if that has anything to do with the republic that the United States
right.
is under.
That's right.
Right.
Constitutional republic. Yeah. Yeah.
So
and Time magazine being the great educator of the masses, yes. Next will be the Rolling Stones. it as a, you know, some cool guy that just got caught up in a bad thing.
Right.
I don't know why parents look at this with sort of that kind of, I guess just they just don't know.
They
because
don't.
Common
well,
sense
here.
People should look at this like, you have got to be kidding me.
Well, and you know what? Here's the deal. This was sold to our school district by the Education Service Center, who's making money off of it. Our principal, when we had our local community
meeting. Whether or not used, I bet.
Right, right. Well, when we had our local community meeting, I had the principal pull up this lesson because I had been alerted to it. He didn't know. Nobody knew that this lesson was even in there.
Well, that's part of the progressive chant now anyway, is to make us all think that Islam is just this really peaceful, friendly religion that's misunderstood by extremists. But these are the same people who call traditional, principled conservatives extremists. So,
Well, what's interesting, and thankfully we do live in a great district, and our principal was shocked when he saw it. And I said, listen, okay, if we have to keep this C-scope stuff, I have access to people that we can bring in that will give the other side of the story. So if the high school is going to use this lesson in social studies, I'm okay, use that lesson. But can we please bring in Frank Gaffney to do a lecture at the school so these kids will understand truly what the Arab Spring? I don't mind them being exposed to that, but I sure as heck want them to hear from someone like Frank Gaffney. And it was funny. It was funny because I said, if we got to do it, let's use it and use it to our advantage. You know, we ended up unfunding it in Argyle, thankfully, because our school board, you know, once they figured out what this was, they said, we don't want it. But it was funny because I had another person at the school tell me, he goes, hey, I Googled Frank Gaffney. I think if we brought him in, the ACLU would be all over us. We might not want to do that.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. I've heard him speak on C-SPAN several times, and he is an expert.
That's
what is so infuriating about the Islam thing on top of everything, too, is that, you know, they have beat every ounce of Christianity out of school. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, the atheists actually sued the school up in Rhode Island that had a dedication. It wasn't even a prayer. It was a dedication to the school made by the people who were the first graduating class of the school on like 50 years ago. And because it referenced God in it, you know, they wanted that, you know, removed. And yet we're going to dress our girls up in burqas, you know, and we're going to act like Islam is just some really misunderstood, you know, religion of peace.
It's, and I'll tell you, you know, when we were on this radio show with Charlotte Iserby, that was one of the most defining moments to me in my kind of journey in understanding all of this, because one of the things in Texas that is being pushed by the right is school choice. It's all about school choice. And I told Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, I said, listen, we're allowing the left to define the right as, you know, oh, they're all about school choice and they're against the teachers and they're against the public schools. And I said, listen, we cannot be against the public schools. School choice means that moms and dads and teachers work together to give a child the best education they can possibly have. And if we're going to be pushing school choice, charter schools, we have got to be very careful. Because in Texas, we've got the Gulen schools, the Harmony Science Centers, that are run by Fatwa Gulen, who's an Islamic extremist. We've got 41 of them in the state of Texas.
Yeah, you have the most, actually.
Right, we do. These charter schools in Texas took a $30 million Race to the Top grant from the federal government and is aligned with the Common Core in Texas. So when we're out there pushing school choice, we better be pushing and standing up for our local public schools. And it's very interesting because the C-Scope was put into 875 districts across the state that are rural, small communities in the middle of West Texas. Our small town is a 3A, which means it's less than 2,000 students in the whole school district. These small rural communities where the local public school is the heart and soul and employer of the community.
Right.
If you take out that public school, you have decimated community. And in Alpine, Texas, West Texas.
But that's why they're focusing there too, Alice. That's why across the country, even in California, they're focusing on Title I schools that are rural. They figure, first of all, they don't have a lot of money, so they're going to be thrilled with any money we give them, and they will be very accommodating, and who's going to know?
Right. And that's why we've got to fight for our local, small, rural public schools, because they are the heart and soul of a community. And when Alpine, Texas, when they have a high school football game, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, purple, yellow, whatever. Everybody's coming together as a community to fight to win that football game. there's something special about that. You know, they're trying to take our families away.
Well,
if they take our local communities away, they won.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole purpose, too. That's why Arne Duncan wants the school instead of the church to be, you know, the center of community. And once they indoctrinate the kids and the parents along with it, we had Alan Scholl from Freedom Project Education on last Thursday on our CURE call, Alice, and he was talking. I asked him, you know, why parents come to their traditional. They've been very public about not accepting anything Common Core. They have no intention of doing so, none in the future. Why parents come and bring their kids to them, and it's a myriad of reasons. I mean, now they're seeing more and more it's because of Common Core. But they said, he said, he's also shocked when he gets a call from a parent and what he thinks is complaining. You know, my second grader's talking about the rule of law at the dinner table. You know, the parents calling him going, what the heck? You know, my high schooler didn't know this. I didn't know this. And he even said that, you know, his ultimate dream would be to have, like, companion classes for adults, for the parents. Because even us as adults, if you've been educated in the public school system, have some fairly skewed stuff we've been taught, whether or not we realize it.
Right.
Or we fought it is more like it, but we still were. So there's a lot of parents who don't even know what they don't know, is what he said, which I thought was such a great phrase. So if you get a bunch of parents in a rural town where, you know, it's the school is, that's where the social activity is, that's where the coming together, that's, you know, of course, no wonder they want to go after that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Don and Alice, we're coming to the close of our program. So, Alice, if you would give your closing comments, and then to you, Don, and also, Don, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we just thank everyone for our for your prayers on Friday over Texas, and we encourage everyone to follow along with what's happening on womenonthewall.org and also voicesempowerempower.com. That's where we'll be posting a lot of information. And don't forget the impeachratliff.com, and we just appreciate all of your support, and we stand with you. It's a battle that I have to. One quick thing, Dr. Lessig closed her last speech or her last talk with this. She said, "Someone asked, why are there so many women fighting this battle?" And she said, "Men will die for their children. Women will kill for their children. You don't get in front of a mama bear."
That's fantastic. You had Dr. Lucid speak? That's cool.
No, she not here.
Oh.
That was on, I've been pushing her videos. So that
was
at the end of her last video. Yes. So I told that to the lieutenant governor. That's why we were fighting. So be ready.
That's too true.
Alice. Hi, Miss Barbara. Hi, Alice. Hi, Dawn. Just thought I'd say hi. But I missed, you know, I've been a little under the weather, tried to listen. But did I miss somebody calling in, Miss Barbara, and asking a question? I had, there was a lady that had posted. Did somebody call in and ask a question about the teaching? Okay. I'm seeing a number on the board, Miss Barbara. Are you able to see the board, Miss Barbara?
There's a number that's showing, but when I ask for her to identify herself or himself, did not do so. So
okay.
I assume that person just wanted to listen in.
Well, a while ago, I was hearing them talk, and I don't know if you heard, because it was like they were saying they can't hear me. So I don't know if that's them or that person's already fallen off.
Well, let's see. Let's give them a moment. Would you like to ask a question?
Okay, apparently not. Okay, I thought I heard the mumbling, but no, it could have been somebody else, and they're off because I just now checked the switchboard, but I thought, I wanted to hear what that lady, and Alice, did you see me post what she had posted on my page? I put it on your chat.
Oh, let me see. I don't know.
Okay, it's on your Facebook page, and let me see. I can just tell you what she said, because I thought that is something that you're going to find very interesting. Let me see if I can find it. She was excited, and she was wanting to call in. Let's see what her, and I thought I posted it on your page, but now I'm looking at the chat and I do not see.
Let me
look again.
Oh, from Ohio.
Yeah. Ma'am, I'm sorry. Did I hear somebody just now? Did I hear somebody talk just now? If you're the one that posted that, we would love to hear from you. But anyway, I'll read it. I'll read what was said, and then maybe you can give us your thoughts on it. She said her son's U.S. civics class has a final exam question. What are the five pillars of Islam? So that had her wondering, where is the question, what are the Ten Commandments of the Bible?
Oh,
so
amen.
That was a civics class in Rhode Island.
You figures.
Very interesting. In a civics class, that's very interesting. Huh.
So that just kind of opens up the Pandora's box of what states, you know, is it not in or is it in? It's not just
right.
In Texas.
Right. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. It's
food for thought, Alice.
That's right. Well, knowledge is power, and more moms and dads are looking at their students' work and curriculum, and that's what we need, people asking questions and then exposing it. to other parents. And that's how we're going to stop this. It's not going to be these elected officials. It's going to be moms and dads stepping up.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, if you don't mind, put out a plea for your friends in Rhode Island to go and sift through. You know, apparently something's going on there, and my goodness, there's so much to watch out for. But I'm so glad to hear about the win in Texas, and it's like Ms. Barbara said, you know, and Dawn, it's just so encouraging for us. So keep up the great work, Alice, and I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
Great, thanks.
Dawn, if you would, lead us in prayer and we'll close the show.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us every single day, the blessings of each other, the blessings of the win in Texas, the blessing of moms and dads and teachers and administrators, Christians from all over the country who are standing up to fight against the pervading evil that we see around us. We know that your word says the only way that evil exists is that it sits in the darkness. And if we shine a light on it, we can make our way through that. We also want to ask for your continued favor and your continued blessing in this very important fight against this takeover of our children, their hearts, their minds, their souls, their bodies. Please continue to give us guidance. We ask that you make that every word that we speak on this is truly heard around the country, that every speech that Alice it makes, that people hear, really the elected really hear and feel what she is saying. We ask for your blessing on our military and their families, both home and abroad, and their kids, because even they are going to be subjected on military basis to this education. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thank you so much. Thank you, both of you. Alice and Dawn, it's been delightful, and we've learned so much. So thank you for being with us. Look forward to having you back. And listeners, we thank you for joining us. Please share what you've heard tonight. Share this podcast with your friends and family, wherever they are, so that they too can become informed, inspired, and involved. We all must take action and get involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and may God bless America. Thank you for joining us at City on a Hill Radio Show. Bye-bye.